just tell you just a couple more little things that happened to us while we were gone this week. I was one of just myself and Chuck Todd were the only two men with 12 other women. I felt like God had banished me to a long-forgotten island, and I wondered what I had done to deserve all this. I'm just joking. It was interesting. But in that group, there was an elderly lady. Her name was Valerie. And when I saw her, I wondered what the Lord really was doing, why she was there. I think she was 77, and she said it would be her last missions trip. And I looked at her, I'm just being very vulnerable and honest, and I thought, well, I know why. I mean, it was difficult for her to get around, and I thought, wow, what strange to have her here. But the more I talked to her, the more that I just knew that there was something different about her, and then I found out that her name was Dr. Valerie Schneider, and she was from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And the last time I heard the word Sheboygan was on the movie Home Alone. And she began to talk, and then I found out that she was a professor of speech and communication, and that her specialty was in the gift of persuasion. And I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, I ain't persuaded yet. But as she began to talk and she began to interact with us, I knew that there was something very, very special about her. I had found out that 15 years ago that part of what she taught as well was money management, and she was listed as one of the top smartest money investors in Money Magazine. She had said that she had started investing when she was 14. By the time she was 56 years old, she had made enough money where she knew she could retire and live comfortably. And she told me that she lived on twice as much per year as she did on her greatest year as being a professor. She said her stocks had done far better than she ever anticipated. And she had self-funded 21 of her 60 missions trips that she'd been on to 59 different nations. And she began to say that she had bought personally 20,000 Bibles and sent them to China. And the research had shown through the Bible Society that it had been determined that for every one Bible sent to China over a 2-year period, it would yield 3 people making a commitment to Jesus Christ. And so she felt compelled to send those Bibles. And when she started first going to China, it was one of the least Christian and evangelized countries in the world. Now it's one, I think she said it was number 2 after America. And that caught my attention so much. She said that she was a teacher in the gift of persuasion. She heard me. I spoke to one of the orphanages, and when I got in there, I felt the Lord just tell me, as I started speaking to kids, I'm not a children's pastor, but I do know a couple things, and I started out with, I'm going to buy all you kids ice cream. And they got excited, and afterwards I said to Valerie, Valerie, how'd I do with the gift of persuasion? And she laughed, and she said, well, when you brought up that ice cream thing, you got everybody's attention. I thought that was very good of you to do. I thought that was good. Thank you so much. And that time when I spoke to those kids was such a powerful moment in my life. And I lost it a couple times this morning. I don't think I'm going to do it again. But I began to tell them my story of growing up and my children or my family, how I'd lost a brother or sister. My dad was an abusive alcoholic, and I told him that my dad never hugged me once in his life. And I felt when I said that, something compelled me to hug all of those kids. And I told those kids that were in that little orphanage, I said, if that's you, if you'd like the hug from a dad today, I just want you to come. And they lined up, every single one of them. And I'm telling you, I hugged those kids. And I could see myself as a little boy in those kids. And this one little guy, I mean, he messed me up. He looked up at me. He began to cry. You could tell he had a hard veneer. He had to. He's just maybe 7 years old, 7, 8 years old. And I saw the kids up here singing this morning. I thought of that little boy who never had the opportunity for what our kids have on a regular basis. He's in a little orphanage. And he looked at me and he started crying. I hugged him. And throughout the whole time I was there, every time I looked at him, he started crying. And as I left, he was crying while I was going right out the driveway. And, oh, I got an image of him in my mind. And I'm going to try to find him. I don't know if I'll ever see him again. Then we went to another orphanage, and I did the same thing. And I bought all those kids ice cream, and I talked to them, and I hugged them. And while I was hugging them, I felt the Lord just something come over me that some of them had a desire to be in some kind of ministry. And after I got done talking, after I got done hugging, I said, I want to do one more thing. I said, if any of you kids, while I was hugging some of you, I felt something on you that maybe nobody's ever confirmed before. But as a father and as a pastor today, I want to do that for you. If you have ever felt called to be, to serve in ministry of any kind, I want you to come. And these little kids, one by one, not all of them, but many of them came up. And I began to pray over them. I began to just declare over their lives God's hand upon them. And I had some of the people that were with us. I told them to write down their names as I was going to go and pray for them. And as I was preparing this morning, I thought, I'm going to make copies of these. And I'm going to make them available for you that if you'll pray over them, I believe God will do a great work in every single one of those lives. And a few months ago, we took an offering on a mission Sunday like today. Today is the last Sunday of the month to buy Bibles to give away. And we gave those Bibles. You gave $1,100 towards buying Bibles, and we gave a ton of Bibles away. I just wanted you to know that. Now, there's one thing more that I learned, and I want to share this with you, and I'm just going to share just a few minutes this morning. I was reminded about this, about prayer walking. And Dr. Valerie, she taught on this, and she helped me, she inspired me to remind me about this. And it's something that I know, but I was reminded of this week, that God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 13 and 17, he said, go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I'm giving it to you. And that was God's plan, to give them the land, not for them to consume it upon themselves, but to give it to them to steward God's greatness over that. Through Adam and Eve, through the fall, how sin entered into man, from that point on, we lost what had been promised to us. But when Jesus came back to earth and he gave his life for us, he opened up the opportunity for us again to stewardship where we walk and pray for the glory of God. In fact, the Bible says because of the work of Christ in Ephesians 1:22 says he has placed all things under his feet, which is the walking image of ownership again to Christ and the people who believe. Oh, it touched my heart so much, and I thought, we need to walk that land over there. And yesterday, a group of people went around, and they handed out, they put on little door hangers inviting people to this next Thursday night where we'll have the picnic in the parking lot at St. Anthony's, and invited people to come to that. And they hung out and handed out 750 invitations. And we have 250 yet left, and they're going to be at a table. Benny Martin is going to be in the back there today. He'll tell you where we haven't been. If you'd like to do that, if you don't want to hand any out, if you'll just walk through that area and pray. I wrote down 7 thoughts as I was praying that came to me, and I'll put these on my Facebook page or maybe the church's so you can look at them if you don't write them down. When you walk and pray, this is what I felt the Lord. Number one, that you pray that other Christians who have been disconnected will feel spiritually alive again. Now listen, you have never, nor will I ever, speak a negative word about my Catholic brothers and sisters. And some people have really gotten upset at me. They've said, oh, the Pope is the Antichrist, and you need to preach against that. I just don't feel that. I just don't agree with that. Do I agree with all the teachings of the Catholic Church? No. But do I think that every man and woman and child that goes in a Catholic church could not be saved or have a relationship with Christ? You're out of your mind if you think that. Are we on, Dano? So we need to pray for people like that, that have been hurt, that have been disconnected. If I could tell you all the people I've gotten so many mixed reactions about people's opinion about us getting the church, from being so happy that it'll come alive again to people getting, they're mad at us. That was my church. Well, okay. You know, my flesh wants to say, well, it ain't no more. It's God's church. But that's not the right thing to say. They're broken. They're hurt. My flesh sometimes wants to say a lot of things that I don't say. But we need to pray. Honey, why are you laughing at me? We need to pray for those that have been disconnected. Number two, we need to pray that the area of the city will experience, listen to this, a renaissance of life and the blessing of God. Number three, that people will sense a drawing by the Holy Spirit to come to a saving knowledge of Him, to know Jesus. Number four, this is important, while we pray and walk, that destructive behaviors will be replaced with decisions that will lead to generational blessing and health. We were over there last night, my Patty and Garrett and I were driving through, and I was around the side. Some guy came riding up by Garrett, and he said, "Steady, you guys are buying all these buildings. How about helping a homeless guy like me?" And I saw the guy up the street. I knew who he was. He's a little bit of a rascal. In fact, he is a lot of a rascal. And we're pulling up there, and Garrett says, "Dad, don't you stop and say anything." I stopped. I rolled down my window. He said, "Hey, Bobby, what's happening? Hey, Pastor, how you doing?" Not homeless. Hurt. Engaging in destructive behaviors. Pray that God will replace them with decisions that will lead to generational blessings and health. We can pray for that. We can believe God for that. Number five, that families that are fragmented and broken will be healed and restored. You're going to see that happen. You're going to hear stories of families that have gone through divorces and have been hurt and different things. You know, husbands and wives have made poor decisions and have been broken. You're going to hear, and you will see stories of them coming back together and God restoring their lives. Amen. That's the time when you ought to clap. Number six, that businesses will develop and the ones that exist will increase with prosperity. And number seven, lastly, that in all we do, God will be honored. We want God to be honored in everything that we do. So if you could take some time this week and you could pray. And then today at the end of the service, which is the last Sunday of the month, our missions offering, I felt the Lord that the missions offering that we receive today will go to buying Bibles to give away this Thursday night at the picnic in the parking lot over there. So, you know, I'm just praying that God will lay that on your heart to do something. We'll do that at the end of service. And listen, I want to say this one more thing, and then I'm going to just share just for a couple minutes. It'll be 10 minutes, and I'll be done. Some of you're busy on Thursday nights. I understand that. Can I ask you to orchestrate your schedule to maybe be the person that will talk to somebody that wouldn't just talk to me or somebody else that is a regular? Can you orchestrate your schedule to be there? It's going to start at 5:30. We've bought, I think, 400 hamburgers, 300 or 400 hot dogs. And I asked Paulie from Paulie's Pizza, because we have pizza ovens in the kitchen over there. He is going to come over and he is going to donate making pizzas at St. Anthony's to give out there. Isn't that pretty good? So we're going to have the food. All we need is you to come and help hand it out and shake people's hand and engage in a conversation. Can you do that? You don't have to have a college education. You don't have to have a seminary degree. All you got to have a mouth and a way to just say, "Hey, what's up?" Okay? I want to share one scripture with you today. And I'm going to close. Come on, will you do that? Will you do that? I'm really asking you to make this consideration. Things are moving along, doing good. We're gonna come to a day here pretty soon where I'm gonna ask you to come and help clean and help do things. And you've just been doing a great job. I haven't even been in it since I've been back, but I look forward. I'm putting on my work clothes tomorrow. I'm going everywhere over there, from the roof to the basement. And so if you want to see me in bib overhauls, tomorrow's your day. Some people like to see me in bib overhauls. How many of you like to see me in work clothes? How many of you'd rather see me in a suit? Less. How many of you would rather see me in jeans and a t-shirt? More. How many of you just rather see Ryan up here and Patty and me to stay home? There's a few hands that went up there. Well, I love you too. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And I want to encourage you to bring your Bible to church. We put it up on the screen just to help. But get your Bible. Make it a part of your life. Look at it on your phone. You can download an app. Colossians 3, verse 12. Since God chose you. That's you. He chose you to be the holy people he loves. You must clothe yourself with what? Listen, tender-hearted mercy, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. Can you imagine? I had that scripture on my heart when I'm standing by that ticketing agent in Chicago after flying for 20-some hours, and she says, "You're not going home till Saturday." And all of a sudden, I had to engage in gentleness, tender-hearted mercy, kindness, patience, humility. You don't need it when everything is going good. You need it when you are up against it. And God says, I want you to clothe yourself with it because he loves you and he wants to help you in your home and in your church. And you'll never do in your church until you begin it in your home. And you'll never do it in your home until you start in your church. You got to engage in it. You got to start in it. And you got to make a decision that you're going to put these on. And he calls us to have mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience with others. And you have to have it in your own home. He says, verse 13, to make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Now, I know everybody here is really good at that. You got that nailed down that you could just forgive when people just come up and rock you and make you upset. You're like, no problem. Hurt me again. I just love to forgive. We need that working in our lives. Not just to lay down as a doormat for people, but have an attitude where we make allowances for the faults in other people. And if they offend you, forgive them. Don't hold that to you. Because if you hold it to you, it's going to make you old and miserable. Your life will not be fun. The Good News Bible says to be tolerant. God's Word translation says to be sympathetic. Zig Ziglar said some people find fault like there is a reward for it. We need to move past that. Because the Lord forgave you, and you must forgive others. You have to forgive other people. Verse 14, above all, he said, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. And then he says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Not just to have it, but to have it work so much in you that it's your address. It's where you live now. I live at 5775 Peace Road, Peace, New York. I live in peace. Things can go on around me, but I make a decision that I'm going to live in peace. I tell people all the time, I'm going to tell you, if you come to me and ask for help, I'll give you 1 through 5. This is what I think you should do. If you do this, it'll help. If you don't, you're on your own because I'm going home with the blonde. I'm living in peace tonight. Amen. Come on. I live in peace. I've made up my mind. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. You are called to live in it and to be thankful. And verse 16 says, and let the message about Christ and its all its richness fill your lives. You have to let the Word of God be a part of your everyday life to fill your life. If you're empty, fill it up with the Word of God. Let it fill your life, and then you can teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that He gives. And our hope comes to our families when we are full of this love and we have clothed ourselves with these things, that we can now, we can communicate that to the ones that are around us and the ones that we love. And we need to have our families amongst ourselves to be open with one another enough that we can talk to one another about things that sometimes are uncomfortable. Sometimes we don't like. My wife has taught me a myriad of things, but guess what? So haven't my children. And some fathers, you get into this position that we just set ourselves up like we are the king and the Lord and the master in our home. And there's a spiritual concept to that. But you also need to be open that if you're off base, your kids will be the first one to tell you, Dad, you are wrong. Your kids will tell you, or my kids will tell you if you hang around them. And you know what? As much as sometimes I haven't liked that, it's good for us to be open. They have a great respect and an honor for me. You'll see them. They honor me. But they will be the first ones that say, Dad, my son Ben, just a month or so ago, I got to tell you about something, Dad. I'm like, okay. Because I know we have that relationship where we can love one another and we can talk to one another about things. And you need to be open to that. And then the Bible says in verse 16, to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Not just in church, but at home as well. And I tell you one thing, all these kids that sang up here today, that had those songs memorized, they're not just singing them in church. They're singing them at home. Instead of our mouths being used to cut and hurt and say negative things, we're using them to sing songs and lift up and encourage and build up one another and tell people in our family we love them. You know, over the years, we grew up in a musical home, not from me, but from my wife, always sang. Even when I was dating her, she'd sing songs with her mom in church. She's always been a singer, and my boys sing, and you know, we'll sing at home, and my oldest boys never did, but I'd go out, and Garrett was a little boy, we'd be walking along, we'd be in a store somewhere, I'd just start singing, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord, and all of a sudden Garrett would stop, he'd turn around, eyes the size as basketballs, Dad, stop that, not here. Okay, I'd let him turn around and get going. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Dad, I told you, don't do that. You're embarrassing me. But you get the spirit of that working in your home, and it pushes out the negative things that can happen all the time. And I love seeing my grandkids up here singing today. That all started when Patty and her mom were singing in the Little Christian Missionary Alliance Church, you know, a few decades ago. And now we look at our own grandkids singing, and they're singing at home. They're singing to me. And the Bible says that whatever you do or say, do as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. You are representatives of the kingdom of our God. You are who He uses and who He chooses to use to do His will. So I'll leave you with these three thoughts from that verse. Number one, you got to learn to embrace intimacy. Not just with God, but with one another and in your home. You have to embrace one another. We have to do that. And some of you might say, well, that's, you know, it's just not me. It needs to be you. If you're going to clothe yourself with love and tender kindness and mercy and compassion, if you're going to put that on, you have to embrace intimacy. And I'm not talking about physical intimacy. I'm talking about being able to talk to people, letting down your guard, pulling down the walls, opening up who you are, who God's created you to be, to have those conversations with other people. Dale Carnegie said in his 1937 classic, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he said, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years trying to get other people interested in you. Be intimate. Embrace it. Let people talk to you. Number two, you got to trust God with your hurt. Though I'm talking about families. I'm talking about some close stuff. And there's not a person listening to me right now. You haven't been hurt at one time in your life. Somebody hasn't said something. You put your trust in a relationship and it was broken. It was fragmented. It was they hurt you. You got to take that hurt and give it to God. Because if you assign it to the person that hurt you, you will live in that the rest of your life. And God says, cast all your care where? On me. He said, because I care for you. And he'll take that hurt. He'll take that disappointment that somebody else tried to put on you. And he'll take it to himself. So you can look at that other person. It could be in your family. It could be your spouse. It could be somebody in the church. You got to trust God with that. And the greatest hurt you ever feel is the hurt that maybe no one else will ever see. And part of having hope again is when you open up your lives, not only to God, but to others. And one of the greatest verses in the Bible that is not quoted correctly is the verse out of James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. But before that, it says, confess your sin, your fault, your mess up to one another. And pray for each other that you may be healed. If there's something going on in your life, you have to find somebody that you can open up your life, embrace intimacy, trust God with your hurt, and talk about it. You don't have to talk about it to everybody, but you got to find somebody. You got to start with him first. And then God will bring somebody in your life. They won't be a billboard for all your mess, but they'll let you say a few things to them and they'll pray for you. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's fault and forgive those who offend you. And lastly, number three, you're going to love this. Do close. Let people into your life. And I was praying early this morning. My clock is still messed up in my body and I'm waking up two or three times in the night. I'm wide awake and I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about somebody saying, oh, no, no. No close for me. I got walls built up. Some of you got walls built up around your walls. You're not going to let anybody in. You've been down that road before. I've heard it all. You can't tell me a phrase. Uh-uh, not me. Nope, I'm good. I despise that saying when people, hey, no, I'm good. No, you're not. You're wretched, you're broken, and you refuse to let God have any opening in your life. You are not good. And quit saying it like you're a master of hiding it. Let it go. Open up your life and do some close with and let some people in to let them help you with what's bugging you. Amen. You got to start now or it'll never happen in your home. My dad, he didn't do close with us at home. I don't know who he did close with. Probably somebody he met at the bar somewhere. Who knows? I don't know. Boy, I'll tell you, that's not us and our family. We're going to do close. I get near you, whether you like it or not, I'm going to hug you. Because I was never hugged. I'm on overload now. What I was shorted on, I got a big abundance of it, and I'm a hugging machine. I'm going to do close. I'm not going to be dirty or nasty about it. Go hug your neck. Tell you I love you. Tell you God's got a plan for your life. Tell you you're not gone too far. Tell you that he's got something that he's working out for you. Tell you that he can do the miracle that you need in your life. Tell you that God is for you. You got to do close with people. And you got to open up your heart and your life and let him in. Come on, let him in. The Bible says in Psalm 73:28, it is good for me to come close to God. I have made the Lord Yahweh my refuge. that I may tell of all your works. You know, you'll never come close to people until you come close to him. And for those of you who are here today and you're saying, well, I just don't get close to people, can I just say, and I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I'm feeling that push from God. You don't get close to God. Because you know what? When we get close to God, we know what he's going to do. He's going to jack you up. You know, when you get close to him, he's going to make you do what you said you'd never do. I'm going to say it one more time because you're just pushing back on me. And I'm going to push right back on you. I'll find you. I'll hug you too. I'm looking for that person that I know you go around me. I'm coming for you today. You got to let God come close to you. Let him speak to your heart. Let him have his way in your life. James 4:8 says, come close to God. He'll come close to you. Proverbs 11:14, without guidance, people fall, but with many counselors, there is deliverance. There's deliverance for you today. Will you close your eyes? Close your Bible. Oh, open up your heart right now. God, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Prayer people, come on down to the front. The altar is going to be needed this morning in somebody's life. Your eyes are closed. Your heads are bowed just for a minute. We're honoring the Lord here. The only people that are moving today is the ones that are going to pray for those who need prayer this morning. Praise God. You may be here this morning. Maybe you've gotten hurt when you were young. My dad, he beat us up so much. I was talking about that a little bit to those kids. Some of them just started crying, little boys, little girls. I prayed God put a hedge of protection around them. I told them, no one will ever hurt you again when you give your life to Christ. Oh, you may go through some things. People say things. But with Jesus in your corner, he'll hug you. When the world won't, he'll love you. He'll love you in spite of all your lack and all your troubles and all your failures. He'll be there. He'll hug you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I feel the love of God in this house right now. I feel the love of God in this house right now. Sir, I'm sorry that what happened to you when you were younger that put that dark imprint in your heart, in your life, what your dad did to you or didn't do. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry what happened to you when you were a little child. I'm sorry for that today. He's here in this house today to lift you and to help you and to restore you. He doesn't hold that against you. You're not to blame. It's not because you're bad. It's because God is good today. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy precious hand, it hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Father, I pray now for every life that is here. Been hurt, been disconnected, been broken, been abused, neglected, assaulted, battered, talked about, lied about, spat upon, rejected, said that would never amount to anything. I pray for everyone that is here that is feeling that, that has felt that, has been talked to about that, that today, God, you're going to lift them up. You're going to strengthen them. Honey, come stand next to me. I'm going to just do something here. I'm going to close. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to stand right here, Patty and I. The rest of the prayer team is going to be here. If you've never received that love or that affirmation, I just want you to, I'm going to close in prayer, and then you just come by us. We're going to bless you, hug you, and then you just move on. If you need prayer, one of these folks will pray for you. Father, I'm going to close, and if that's you, you just get out of your seat. You come down, come right to us. We're just going to do it together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your love and for your kindness for every life, every person is here today. Let them know how much you care for them, how much you love them, and what you have done for them. I pray you'll bless them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The ushers are going to be in